have to feel. But let's face it, we mostly avoid talking with kids about sex for our own sake. Talking about sex with kids makes us feel awkward and uncomfortable, even incompetent. How do you talk with a child about sex? Human sex acts are just bizarre. So are genitals. So are pregnancy, birth, and nursing. I mean, if you really think about these things, try to look at them objectively, as if you were an alien being just landed on Earth. You have to be like, what now? Are you serious? Human mothers used modified sweat glands, that's what mammary glands are, to make food for their young? And the babies suck that stuff out of organs that are otherwise dressed up in frilly lace to be used as adult sex objects? This is how your species operates? It is really no wonder we tried to talk about birds and bees instead of humans. It's no wonder that the first time you tell a kid how the sperm usually gets to the egg, the child tends to react with some combo of disbelief and shock. And so, of course, immediately asks you to repeat what just took all of your strength to say. You might think that as your child gets older, it will get easier. Take my word for it. My baby boy is now 15 years old. It doesn't. As your children get older, they understand more and more about anatomy and adult social relations, especially if you've been pretty open with them about the facts. They get better at asking challenging follow-up questions. As a consequence, talking to older kids about sex can feel even more awkward than talking to very young children because older kids have a better sense of the gravity and the weirdness of it all. Plus, they know they've been touching themselves, and they know we probably have been touching ourselves too. So bottom line, if you find yourself having a hard time talking with your little kid or your bigger kid about sex, if you find yourself having a hard time even thinking about talking with your kid about sex, you're a perfectly typical parent. The truth is, while I can joke about genitals with my adult friends as readily as any frat boy, the first time my kid cornered me and asked me exactly how his father's sperm reached my egg, he was 5.5 years old. I turned bright red, started stammering, and went into evasive maneuvers worthy of a fighter pilot in enemy territory. And I was a professional medical researcher who was in the midst of editing a book about parenting and sex development. But we have to talk to our kids about sex. In fact, we have to be prepared to talk with them about sex throughout their lives as they develop. Newsflash, a single instance of the talk is not enough. As they grow, your children will keep wanting to know more and more about sex. They will keep needing to know more about sex. And they will always deserve to know more about sex than they can get from school, the playground, and the media. If you find yourself thinking that talking to your kids about sex is overwhelming, try to remember that talking to your children calmly about sex is actually protective. Having regular, calm, honest talks with you about sex can keep your children safer from predators, help them know what to do if they get in trouble, and, hopefully, can help give them a better, more enjoyable sex life in the long run. And it might just keep you from being presented with grandchildren before your kids are ready to be parents. Conversing with your children about sex makes you a good parent, not a bad parent. In the next part of this book, we're going to talk specifically about good parenting as well as the basics of how to communicate with your children. As I'll explain in more detail in the next part, what I'm recommending here about talking with children comes from my 20 years of experience in working professionally with families whose children were born with bodies that don't fit normal social expectations. Some of the parents I learned from had children born with intersex genitals. Genitals that are in between male and female types. Some of them had had children who were born conjoined twins, Siamese twins. Some of them had children who were born with Down syndrome or cerebral palsy or with a port wine stain, a purple-colored area of skin on their face, or with a cleft lip. All of them had to deal with the rough parts of parenting, uncertainty, ambivalence, intense familial love, medical worries, and tough conversations sooner than average. Why did I have reason to learn about parenting from these people? My PhD degree is in history of science, and I am especially interested in the history of anatomy. In graduate school, I took on studying the history of social